Coordination compounds, module 1 of 6. Let's learn about coordination compounds and their properties in this chapter. Coordination compounds are chemical compounds that consist of non-metal atoms or group of atoms, which we call ligands, and these are bound to a central metal atom by chemical bonds. Coordination compounds are also referred to as coordination complexes. You might be familiar with some of them. For example, potassium ferrocyanide, K4FeCN6. You might have seen this chemical in the lab and you might have used it in salt analysis in class 11th. Another important coordination compound is nickel carbonyl. Here nickel is a central atom and it is surrounded by four carbon monoxide molecules, which are the ligands. It was Alfred Werner, a Swiss chemist, who first studied these compounds, and he was given the Nobel Prize in 1913 for his work on the linkage of atoms and coordination theory. He first gave his postulates on this theory in 1898. According to him, in complexes, metal ions show two types of valencies. One is the primary valency and the other is the secondary valency. The primary valency is non-directional. That means it is not directed to a specific point in space. And these are ionizable, that means they are forming ions in solutions. And the number of primary valencies is equal to the number of charges on the complex ion. The secondary valency is directional, that means they are directed to a specific point in the three-dimensional space, and which is responsible for the shape of the complex. It is non-ionizable, they do not dissociate into ions in solution. And the number of secondary valency equals to the number of ligands coordinated to the metal. Alfred Werner studied a series of compounds of cobalt 3 chloride with ammonia. And he found that some of the chloride ions could be precipitated as AgCl on adding excess of silver nitrate solution. But some chloride ions remained as such in the solution. According to this, he formulated four compounds. Let's learn these compounds one by one. The first compound is COCl3.6NH3. This is the formula he gave it to it then. It was orange in color and he found out that one unit of this compound gives four formula units in solution. One mole of this compound on reacting with excess of AgNO3 gave 3 moles of chloride ions. So we can write the formula of this compound as CONH3 6 times within the square brackets and Cl3 outside, as the 3Cl denote the primary valency, which are ionizable. The second compound is COCl3.5NH3. It is purple in color and it gives 3 ions per formula unit, and on reaction with excess of AgNO3 it gives 2 moles of chloride ions. So we can write the formula as CONH3 5 times Cl all inside the square bracket and Cl2 outside, as we have only 2 chloride which are ionizable. The third and fourth compound had the same formula, COCl3.4NH3, yet they had different color and both gave 2 ions per formula unit, and they both gave 1 chloride each with reaction with AgNO3. So they both have the same formula, that is CONH3 4 times Cl2 within the square brackets and 1 Cl outside. Now, since the color is different, definitely it was found out that it was because of the different positions of these ligands. Hence, it was found out one was trans and the other was cis. As you can see, the number of ligands in all the four cases is 6, and therefore all of them have the same geometry, that is octahedral. Now let's see what's the difference between a double salt and a complex. Double salts exist in solid state and they all dissociate into ions in aqueous solution. That means that you can test for each ions when you dissolve it in water. So they lose the identity in aqueous solution, and they have the properties of double salt is the same as their constituents. For example, carnallite KCl dot MgCl2 dot 6H2 when dissolved in water will give the test for potassium ions, chloride ions as well as magnesium ions. Another example is Mohr salt, which you will be using in titration in class 12 practicals. Its formula is FeSO4.NH4 2SO4.6H2O. Now this will give the test for Fe2+, sulfate ions and ammonium ions when dissolved in water. And the most famous one, which you all know, is potash alum, K2SO4.Al2SO4 3SO24H2O. This will also give the test for potassium ions, sulfate ions and aluminium ions in solution. Let's see how the complex compound is different from this. The complex compound exhibit in the solid state as well as in the water or in any other solvent in the same way, and they do not completely lose their identity in aqueous solution. For example, let's take K4FeCN6. When we dissolve this in water, it dissociates into 4K plus ions, and one complex ion, that is FeCN6, 4 minus. Now here we can test for potassium ions in the aqueous solution, but we cannot test for Fe2 plus ions and neither for CN minus ions, because they do not dissociate into ions. Now let's come to certain terminology to study about these coordination compounds. The first one is a complex ion. Okay, now a complex ion or a coordination entity, we can say it's an electrically charged species in which the central metal atom or ion is surrounded by a number of ions, neutral molecules. Okay, like for example, the whole entity could have a charge. If it has a positive charge, it's a cationic complex entity. For example, Pt, NH3, 4 times. And you have a charge outside of 2 plus. Here, the ligand ammonia is a neutral molecule, whereas the whole complex has got a positive charge. Or you can have a negative charge on the complex, like FeCN6, 4 minus. Here, the central metal atom is surrounded by the negative ligands, CN minus, and the charge outside the complex is 4 minus. Now let's see the next one. A central atom or ion. What is it? An atom or ion which is fixed number of ions or groups are bounded to it is known as central atom or ion. It is referred to as Lewis acid because this ion or atom accepts lone pair of electrons from the ligands. For example, in a complex Ni H2O 4 times Cl2 within the square brackets, here Ni2 plus is a central metal ion. Usually the central metal atom or ion is a transition element or an inner transition element, but there are exceptions. Like for example, magnesium is a central atom in the coordination compound of chlorophyll. Now let's see what are ligands. Now ligands are the electron donating species. So these are usually the Lewis base. They donate electrons to the central metal atom or ion. Now ligands could be either neutral or charged. Okay, they are of the following types. Unidentate ligand. Okay, this is a ligand which can donate only one lone pair of electron, or it has only one donor site. Okay, and the ligand bond to the metal ion through a single donor site. For example, H2O. Okay, in H2O, the donor atom is oxygen because there are lone pairs on oxygen atom to donate, and it can donate only through the oxygen atom. In ammonia, same case, you have lone pair on nitrogen and nitrogen is a donor atom in ammonia. Didentate ligands. Okay, these will have two donor sites. For example, ethane-1,2-diamine. It has got two nitrogen atoms which both contain lone pairs which can be donated to the central atom. Same is the case of oxalate ions. It will have two oxygen atoms which it can donate each to the central metal atom. Polydentate ligand is a ligand which have several donor sites, that is more than two. Like for example, EDTA, ethylene diamine tetraacetate ion, it is a hexadentate ligand. Now what is an ambident ligand? Okay, ambident matlab ambidextrous, that means it can donate from either or two sides of a molecule. It could have two donor sites, okay, but it will donate from only one of them because these are monodentate ligands. They donate only from one side, but it has got a choice whether it can donate from one atom or the other atom. Like for example, NO2 minus, it could either donate from the nitrogen atom or it could donate from the oxygen atom. Chelating ligands. What are chelating ligands? Usually di or polydentate ligands, they form a cyclic form with the central metal atom because of the bond formed with the central metal atom. Okay, it looks like a claw, and chelate means a claw. It seems like the ligand is holding onto the central atom just like the claws of an animal onto its prey. Such ligands use two or more donor atoms, and these are known as chelating ligands. More the number of chelate rings, more is the stability of the complex. And the stabilization of coordination compounds due to chelation is called the chelate effect. Coming to the next one, that is coordination number. It is the number of coordinate bonds or the number of lone pairs donated to the central metal atom with the ligands. For example, in PtCl6-2-, each Cl- donates a lone pair, and since there are 6 chloride ions, so the coordination number of platinum is 6. In case of monodentate ligands, the coordination number will be equal to the number of ligands, like in the case of platinum Cl6-2-. There are 6 chloride ions and the coordination number is 6. But if you have didentate or polydentate ligands, then the coordination number will be equal to the number of ligands into its denticity. Coming to the next one, what is a coordination sphere? The central ion and the ligands attached to it are enclosed in a square bracket, which is known as coordination spheres. The ionizable group written outside the bracket is known as counter ions. They're usually outside the square brackets, and those ions are ionizable. An example is given here to you, that is cobalt, NH36 times with a charge of 3+. Cobalt is a central metal ion, and the ligands, that is NH3, 6 ammonia molecules surrounding it together in the square bracket is called a coordination sphere. But if suppose this is projected in space and it shows or denotes its space or its shape, then we'll call this a coordination polyhedron. Okay, it could either be having an octahedral geometry. For example, if there are 6 ligands or 6 donor sites, then it will be an octahedral geometry. If there are 5, it will be a trigonal bipyramidal. If it is 4, it could either be square planar or tetrahedral. And if there are 5, it could be trigonal bipyramidal or square pyramidal. Depends on the type of hybridization. Now we come to the oxidation number of the central atom. Okay, the charge of the complex, if all the ligands are to be removed, then the residual charge that is left on the central atom is called its oxidation number. For example, CuCN4 with a 3- charge. Now the 3- charge outside the complex denotes the total number of charges of the central atom and the ligands put together. Suppose we remove the 4 cyanide ions, then there will be only a single positive charge on copper left. And so the oxidation number of copper is +1, and it is represented as copper with 1 as a Roman numeral in parentheses. Now, if we know the oxidation number of the metal, then we can find the charge of the complex. Like for example, if we have got chromium with 3 positive charge and 4 water molecules and 2 chloride ions as ligands, we can sum up the charges. As we know, chromium has a +3 charge, water being a neutral molecule has no charge, and Cl having a minus charge. Okay, all of this could be added. The net charge will come out to be plus 1, which we can write outside the square brackets. We come to the type of complexes. A type of complexes, we have got two types, homoleptic and heteroleptic complexes. Homo means same. If a complex is made in such a way that the central atom is surrounded by same number of same kind of donor atoms or same type of ligands, then such type of complexes are called homoleptic complexes. If in a complex the central metal atom or ion is linked to more than one type of donor atoms or different ligands, then it is called a heteroleptic complexes. So here we come to the end of the first module.